It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We go again. We do not stop. We do not let up. It's all good doing it in the middle of summer, but will you do a golf podcast in the middle of winter? We will.
We absolutely will as you trudge through the pink tees, because that's what this is. In the same way that, you know, you have seasons when the poppies appear, maybe, or, you know,
sure.
your favorite flower blossoms. The thing that blossoms at this time of year, pink tees. They tend to grow around golf mats at golf courses where lots of old people play.
Are we talking castle tees? Pink castle tees? Yeah, I mean, awful. Absolutely, just huge.
About 7 inches high.
Normally tied to go with the other tees.
And really close to the tee, to the point where you're like, why don't you just pick that up?
Surely, it's huge, mate.
And it's bits of plastic. You would like get a lid from a bottle and just throw it on the floor. It's mad.
A lovely Christmas morning, waking up, bamboo tees. How often do you get that? Bamboo tees.
Great. Why not? Right now, there are pandas starving.
Yeah.
Because of this fetish for bamboo tees that we've got in Golfland.
Oh, pink castle tees are bad. It's a classic. Well, welcome back to another episode, by the way. And we are running a fun... Do some competition noises. Nice. So we're doing a competition at the moment where we are giving away tour-only Pro V1s that I might have nabbed from the challenge tour. All you got to do
have
is...
Have they ever been hit? They're brand new.
They're brand new, mate.
I can't believe... I like the idea that you've left...
Some of them have been hit.
I like the idea that you've left all of your clothes behind in Spain and you just filled your suitcase with balls.
There was a funny moment where we won't go into it. But anyway, if you want to go down to the bottom of the podcast, leave a 5-star review. So go and press the 5 stars. Go and leave a comment. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and we'll pick some listeners at random and hand them out.
Yes, please.
Some Pro V1s. Now, we often get criticised online that golf is sort of a... It's elitist, and that we play into that elitism, and that when we talk about things like golf, driving licenses that they have in Germany, it's because we're in a disgusting elitist sport.
Mm.
Question. You see someone in jeans on the golf course, what do you do?
I'm speechless.
I knew this would get you. I knew it would.
Absolutely speechless. If you see it as a one-off, you ignore it.
Okay.
I saw at my golf
course... He's not winding you up here. This is Tom's opinion. It's also actually my opinion. So
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You're weirdly, even though you're a bit younger and cooler than me, you're weirdly a bit more sort of...
I'm more elitist.
Intolerant, yeah.
I'm totally intolerant.
I saw, and I'm just calculating if I can name drop him. I'm going to name drop him. There's a guy called Simon Farnaby, who's a wonderful comedian, actor, writer. He's responsible for the Paddington movies.
Paddington movies.
He's brilliant. Simon's a genius. And he's also a fantastic golfer. And I think at one stage he was like nearly a pro. Anyway, Simon Farnaby was at my club the other day and I saw him, had a lovely chat with him, and the chat stopped because I realised he had denim trousers, aka jeans, on.
While playing golf?
And do you know what I did? I can tell you exactly what I would do if I see someone playing.
Because you've done it.
With jeans, because I've done it. Had a lovely chat with him, saw the jeans, noted it. About an hour later, when I was on my way home, I stopped, just sent him a little message.
Okay.
If I ever see you wearing denim at my golf club again, I will blank you.
Rightly so.
And the next day I saw him, he had like denim dungarees on. He was like, keep away from me, Price.
Just in Timberlake 05.
Just to make sure Price doesn't get anywhere near him.
Why was he doing it?
What, wearing jeans?
Yeah.
Because
if he's a good golfer, then surely he's got golf gear.
He'd bowled up at his local club for 9 holes. It was 6 p.m. on a summer's evening.
Right.
He was playing by himself. As he was talking to me, he was looking to see where he could get off. Could he get off the 10th? Could he jump over to the 3rd? All that sort of stuff. And he had obviously just grabbed his bag and left the house. But he'd made a choice. And that choice was to disrespect golf. He obviously hates our game. So if you have anything to do with Simon Farnaby, if you see him out there, if you follow him on social media, ask him, Simon, why do you hate golf?
So funny. So picture this scene in your mind, okay? You're on a... I'm picturing it's like almost like a Florida golf course, mm-hmm. okay? You're on a Florida golf course and there's a golfer there with like a open shirt, jeans and flip-flops on, having a beer, right? And he's awful. How do you feel?
The face is doing. Yeah. I know this is mainly an audio medium, but that is...
Sad.
I feel sad, especially if I get stuck behind him.
Okay. So he's shanking it. He's yeah. all he's got his jeans on and his open shirt. He's having a beer.
I judge whatever. The whole golf club. I judge the whole establishment.
Okay. Picture the scene again. Yeah, beautiful golf course. It's Florida. He's there with his open shirt on and jeans.
Probably got beer on the go, smoking a cigarette.
And he's an absolute ball striker.
Oh, he's really good.
He's amazing.
Oh, he's my hero.
Yeah, he's brilliant, right? He's the coolest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, how are you so cool?
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, step aside, Matthew McConaughey. This is the man I want to marry. Yeah. 100%. 100%.
How are you so relaxed and good at golf, my man?
Yeah.
Can I kiss you?
I once had an argument with a greenkeeper at a golf club.
Shock.
About trolleys, right? Shock. And the argument finished. This is absolutely true. I hit a shot into a par three, hit it to about 2 feet away. And I heard the greenkeeper say to his mate, I didn't realise he was good. Swear to you, that's true.
And it's such balls because etiquette should be etiquette regardless of the level of sport you're at. But if you're a striper, you can do whatever the hell you like. And it is just true.
It's just one of those things. But if you turn up at a golf club, I remember our place had a thing probably 10 years ago now in May where anyone could join. It's a great idea. You could join the club for a month, like 31 days. Mm. 100 quid, I think it was back then.
Try before you buy.
But I don't think there was any kind of... Well, yeah, anyway. They did it, and the course was packed. Packed.
Yeah.
People were turning up, and you'd just see four ball, yeah. all in football tops, all in jeans, yeah. in the works.
Yeah.
And that experiment did not happen again.
It's bad, though, isn't it? Because What are we saying? Are we saying that we don't want to grow the sport... I don't know.
No, we're just
what are we saying?
Unfortunately, the thing that comes with the sport is a little bit of that. But it's got so much better in recent years, hoodies and stuff like that. I love wearing a hoodie on the golf course. Not everyone on TikTok agrees with me.
Yeah.
But there's just certain things where it's just like, no, come on, mate. It's part of the game.
You know what? There was actually a really funny but also intelligent comment on our TikTok account talking about it was the golf... driving license thing in Germany, which has blown up to some degree on TikTok and people are going crazy for it.
Yeah.
And again, it's the whole... I think the debate is between golfers who love the sport and think it's absolutely fine and non-golfers who call it elitist, who have no idea, who have never even tried to play the sport.
Yeah, but that defense is a bit like with like fox hunting in the UK when fox hunters say, you just don't understand
it. Because yeah,
I think I do. And it's the same thing when people are non-golfers go, if our defense is, no, you just don't understand the sport, that's a terrible defense.
Right, okay, fine. But there was an interesting argument because the argument was, why should you have to have a driving license that's keeping new golfers out who can't play the sport?
Yeah.
And someone was like, yeah, I see what you mean. But the difference is, if you were going rock climbing, right?
Yeah.
And you were an amateur rock climber,
yep.
you wouldn't, by rock climbing, hold up the rest of rock climbers behind you, unable to get up the wall.
Or,
which is what golf is.
Well, actually, I think this does happen in rock climbing. Screw up the rocks when people drill into the bad bits or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
But there is always that argument as well. I remember my dad a million years ago used to hate boarders when they first started on skiing, right? So it was,
boarders?
People going down on surfboards. Or what are they called? Snowboards.
Snowboards.
Snowboarders.
Oh, right, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Boarders, right? Whatever.
Yeah, sure.
And my dad used to hate them because he used to say that they scraped all the snow down the mountain, which is... nonsense. literal nonsense,
yeah.
right? But there's always this impression that people who do something different, who are less good, somehow damage the place that you're at.
Okay,
but
yeah,
I think with golf, this is the reason that I use that phrase, hackers, because you're looking at them going, please don't hack my golf course up.
Yeah.
I'm going to be fine. We had an incident. We had an incident on our little half-ton break in Cornwall. We were playing this beautiful course called Bowood Park. I cannot recommend it enough. It's a little hidden gem in North Cornwall.
I love a golf hidden gem.
Well, but the thing is, it's not right by the sea, so no one really knows about it. It's really quiet, and it's a beautiful parkland course. Everyone thinks, well, Cornwall, it's going to be a coastal thing, and there's loads of great coastal courses around there, of course. But this place is beautiful. We were first out, Millionaire's Golf, in a buggy, having the best time.
Oh, nice.
And then the three ball of old men plodders just kept catching up with us, right? And I was like, how are they catching up with us? We're in a buggy.
Yeah.
But there were three of us in a buggy. My son was one of them. My son's pretty slow.
Yeah.
And eventually they caught up with us. They were annoyed about catching up with us. Excuse me, I don't mean to offend you.
Oh, God, it's going to be offensive.
I'm already offended.
Mm.
But we are finding a lot of pitch marks on the greens.
Right, okay.
Can I just check you're repairing your pitch marks?
Wow.
I'm like, first of all, do you think that the three of us are just spraying? To make a pitch mark on a green, the kid's not going to do it because he's not hitting it far away enough to make a decent mark. Me and Simon, I was playing with, you know, I was playing all right. Maybe I'd make one or two. But the idea that we're peppering them with pitch marks.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
But he said, because it's first thing in the morning, so no one else could have done it. And I'm like, yeah, the pitch marks.
What, they don't do disappear overnight.
Do you think there are pitch mark fairies?
Yeah.
Little pitch mark elves who come out at night with their giant pitch mark repairers and fix them. They're from yesterday, mate. And you could tell that they'd been bubbling away talking about it for ages before, saying, oh, here's another one.
Yeah,
people in front, they're making all these pitch marks. What is wrong with you?
That's a mad comment.
But golfers do get, and I'm guilty of this sometimes, very protective of their courses.
Yeah, no, I get that. I do.
And I think that feeds into a clothing and attitude thing. Oh my God, I sound like I'm 100.
But don't you think that's the goal of going up to someone and going, are you making these pitch marks? I would never do that. I would never presume it was the group in front of me because it's just so hard to define when a pitch mark was made. That's such random and awful chat from them. Just shut up.
It's like me going back and picking up all their pink tees.
Yeah. Are you leaving these? You are.
You absolutely are.
Have
you
them
know
back.
Are. For God's sake, it's ridiculous.
Go on.
I don't say something. No, nothing.
I think I've got the perfect golf question for you. I think this is the perfect golf question.
Okay.
Okay?
I'm ready. Yeah, let me get comfy.
You know I romanticise the sport. I romanticise this sport more than anything in the world.
I've always said you're the William Wordsworth of golf, yeah.
I am. This is one of my most romantic, I think. Okay. What is... Close your eyes. Everyone, close your eyes. What is the perfect halfway hut meal?
I mean, that is a huge question.
So good.
That is a huge question.
What's the perfect thing that you could have at halfway hut? I think there's what I should have, and then there's what I want to have. If I'm playing well, I'll have a water and a banana, yeah, and it will make sure the rest of my round is fine.
Yep.
But what do I want to have?
So I've got a lot to say on this. First of all, the perfect snack has to cover bases. It has to be potentially a breakfast, potentially a mid-morning snack, potentially a lunch snack.
Yep.
For me, right? It has to be comfort food, which means an element of vinegar, inevitably, and stodge, right? Starchy.
Yeah.
It has to be hot. And it has to be beige.
Yes.
Right? It does. This isn't an opinion. This is just rules.
Yeah.
It has to be...
hot, beige, and old. So also like the people that are playing the sport.
Are you saying those old people are hot?
Yeah, it doesn't really
work. All right, Wayne
Rooney. It doesn't really work, does it?
It has to be.
We could work on that joke a bit and there'd be something there.
It's a sausage roll. It's a sausage roll. I mean, I know Rick does it always, a sausage roll review, but it's either a sausage roll or maybe actually it's a bacon sandwich. But there has to be a hit of comforty protein in there as well.
Yeah. I think the idea of the perfect halfway hut bacon sandwich for me is Milton Golf Club in Peterborough, where I play with Em's dad, and he's a member there. Yeah. On the ninth tee.
Yeah, get it right.
There is a walkie-talkie.
Oh, please.
Walkie-talkie on the tree.
Texting ahead.
Just that noise. Brilliant, right?
Aren't you tempted when you do it?
This is Oscar Tonda. Yeah. I'm a bacon sandwich with Darren.
Darren. So that noise, great, right? Four bacon sandwiches. Four coffees. Now, Milton doesn't have this, but the golf courses that do. Four Guinness.
Oh.
Get out.
A little
get out.
A little boozy McBoozerson on the in the halfway hut.
A bacon sandwich, a Guinness, and a coffee.
Now.
Oh. I can have a Guinness now, and it's quarter to nine.
Yeah, you can't have one now. Not only does that make, I would say, the best halfway hut meal, I would say that's the best meal. And also, I was going to say that's the best last meal. And for a lot of our members, it could be their last meal.
Yeah.
The thing they've started doing at our place at the halfway hut, which is brilliant, I love our halfway hut, is they have cake, but like big chunks of sponge cake.
Yep.
No, it's too much. It's sticky. There's admin.
Who's having that? Who's who?
Yeah. Right? Like, you might as well just get prawns and start taking the back and the front. No, I want stuff that's easy, go straight in. I haven't got time to chew. I'm concentrating on what club I should take next.
Now, this is conjecture. I don't have evidence of this because I've never played this golf course. Mm-hmm. And also it's one that I'm reluctant to admit that any golf course I can't get on. Because I believe that I can wingle and wangle my way into anything.
Or just break in.
Mm. Augusta, I've sort of resigned myself.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Probably never going to. Although Rick played this year.
Yeah, and he's only a few rungs above us.
Exactly. Queenwood. You ever heard of Queenwood?
No.
Ha! Queenwood Golf Course. Probably the most exclusive golf course in the UK, I would say.
Really?
Yeah, Queenwood.
You said this about JCB before. Is it up there?
It's up there with JCB. Definitely up there with JCB.
I love that you just know about these places.
Potentially, yeah, this is the sort of golf stuff I love. Potentially more exclusive. Maybe JCB is maybe more exclusive because the only way you can get onto JCB is by knowing someone. Mm. Whereas if you're really wealthy, you can probably get on Queenwood.
Right, okay.
But the reason that I mentioned Queenwood, it's in that Surrey, Wentworthy area, right?
Yeah,
I think John Terry is a member. John Terry always posts about it.
Great guy. Lovely guy.
Love John Terry.
Yeah, one of the nice ones.
Queenwood.
Can I stop you there?
Yeah.
Can we have ads and then come back for the Queenwood for the big Queenwood reveal?
Oh, yes, yeah? Because Queenwood's got something amazing in a halfway help.
There you go. That's going to hook them back in for part two. Stand by.
Welcome back to another episode of Golf is Ruining My Life. Queenwood. Yeah. What does it have in its halfway hut? Rumoured, because I've not been, but I got told by someone who had been.
A masseur.
No.
Is it food-based?
Yes.
Chocolate fountain.
No. Imagine that was all built up together. And it has a chocolate fountain. No.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, cheers.
Go on.
There is a full restaurant with chef, and that restaurant is a sushi restaurant.
What?
Fresh sushi on the 9th.
That is insane.
At Queenwood, I believe.
Oh my God.
But let us know in the comments if that's true or not. I think it is true.
Hold this pot, the salmon's on me.
Yeah.
That's insane. Oh my God, sushi I love restaurant. It.
Proper exclusive.
I think, you know, a good halfway hut, it just improves the whole round of golf as well. And the only thing is, there can be a bad halfway hut experience, which I had playing with my mate Jimmy, where we just stopped for ages. That's the problem.
Okay, yeah. You can get bogged down in it.
People just, yeah, they're browsing. You're waiting for the tea. And I don't like a cup of tea at the halfway hut. Because
it's hot in it. It's hot, it's admin.
And the bag and the milk. Tea admin. No.
It's admin.
Good coffee machine, please.
Yeah.
That's important. But when people stop for more than, this is a good question. What is the optimum length of a stop at the halfway hut?
Well, I don't know the etiquette around this because sometimes people when I played Wentworth, mm-hmm. there was like an etiquette thing that everyone had 15 minutes.
So that's nice. That's okay. Yes, interesting.
Everyone had that time. So no one was like, do you mind if we play through?
Oh, because I get really stressed about that. Like, yeah, really, if I'm there and I see and someone's putting on the green before and I'm like, guys, get the crisps, we've got to go.
You got to move. There was like a bit of an etiquette thing, and I think really posh courses have that.
That's good.
Where there's almost like everyone agrees that it's a 20-minute stop because everyone wants to be away from their wives for longer.
Of course, lols. But aside from the etiquette thing, I just think in terms of golf, if I'm playing a good round of golf, I don't want to stop for too long. Because it screws up. So yeah. I would say definitely under 10, preferably 5, like 5 minutes. We're talking coffee, sausage roll, we're bouncing.
Now, I've got so many things to ask you. I've got another thing.
Okay.
I've got so much. Do you know about golf-specific drinks?
Like, oh, well, there's the is it MG? What are they called? These guys who are everywhere.
Oh, the MG sports people. Yeah. MG nutrition or whatever.
Suddenly everyone's getting this stuff.
I don't mean that. Okay. I mean, there's certain drinks that people always have in golf clubs after a round of golf that you never have elsewhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll never have a lager top unless I just play golf.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's also ones. Do you know what a rock shandy is?
Yeah, rock shandy is classic. I mean, that is the definition of a golf drink.
The golf drink.
Yeah.
And there's another one that's, I can never remember what it's called.
But it's Crazy Vimto?
It's not a Crazy Vimto, but it's like
WKD?
It's the one that has Angostura bitters on.
Yeah.
Maybe Rock Shandy has Angostura bitters as well. It's annoying me because I can't remember it right now, but it's only posh old people mm-hmm. drink it after a round of golf. And it's a pint of like lemonade, ginger beer, and I think Angostura bitters.
Yes.
Which that isn't a Rock Shandy. It's It's going to really annoy me.
People will be shouting at their podcast right now.
It's really annoying what it is. But it's the most refreshing drink in the whole of golf. And I got into them for a while and tried to
put on a lot of weight.
Oh, God, there's a lot of sugar in them. And tried to order them outside of a golf environment. And my God, does it throw people. You go to an all bar one and ask for a rock shandy. And they're like, what the hell are you talking about, man?
That's very, very good.
But they're so refreshing that, you know.
Yeah. Okay, good, good. Listen, one thing we haven't dwelt on, and we are running out of time a little bit. This is going to be a shorter episode this week.
Sorry, guys.
Tom's got to go to work. Daddy's got to go and earn a crust. I just want to talk about, like, where are you at with your golf? We haven't really mentioned that. How is your golf going at the moment? What is happening? What are your aims and aspirations over the coming weeks and months?
I am going to play a really nice golf club soon that I am looking to join as well because I've heard really good things about it. Oh. So I inquired about their membership and it's a little pricey, it's also not crazy money.
Okay.
The only problem is they don't allow green fees on the weekend.
Right.
So do you know when you're sort of going back and forth with membership over someone, so you might be able to swing a weekend if you're going to join.
What do you mean you can't go and play on the weekend or when you are a member?
Sorry, you can't have a green fee on a weekend.
So you won't be able to, as a member, have a pal come and play?
Or maybe as a member you could, but okay. You can't go on the website and book a...
Oh, I see. Fine.
Hadley Wood. Ever heard of Hadley Wood?
Yeah, of course.
Near Barnet, just above Barnet. Annoyingly, moving out of London, potentially joining a golf club that's technically inside the M25 seems counterintuitive.
Yeah, but it'll feel like a sort of commute into work.
Yeah.
But also, you could drive to work and then on the way back, just nip off.
Yeah.
A little bit of golf.
Hadley Wood.
Nice.
Yeah, really nice, really special. You're not supposed to do this. And apparently, this is why courses in Scotland have put all the prices up, because Americans come over and only book golf courses based on their price.
Oh, wow.
So that's why loads of Scottish golf courses are now £560 a round, because Americans go, what's most expensive? Wow. We'll play there. It's not an indication of how good something is. No. However, Hadley Wood in summer for 18 holes is £120. So that gives a bit of an idea of the level of course. Yeah, expensive.
You've got quite high standards. You are definitely the Mariah Carey of this podcast.
Yes.
You really want certain things. You want kittens and things like that when you play your golf courses.
Yeah.
But this is great news for me because I'm coming to play with you. So
yep.
Works for me. All right. So you're going to go and play there and get your membership sorted out for the big move. That's exciting.
For the big move. How's your golf?
Well, I've had my second leg operation, which is very tedious. Guys, it's to take moles off my skin, wear sunscreen. For God's sake, it's years and years of wearing shorts on the golf course and running. Put sunscreen on. So I'm off golf for a couple of weeks, which is always quite nice, I've found, because it gives you a bit of space from the game, which is actually quite good.
Yeah.
The last time I was off golf for this reason, I came back, played 9 holes to 1 under par.
Oh, so refresh.
A bit of a gap can be quite nice. So what I'd like to do this winter is play as much as I can, obviously. I want to get down the range and just really lock it in.
Can I tell you a really quick range story very quickly?
We have 3 minutes left. Over to you.
I took my mate to the range recently, Louis, who listens to this podcast. He probably won't be at this stage yet because he started from the beginning. And he's new to golf, so I was showing off all my cool golf things.
Sure.
I was like, mate, watch this little stinger. Bang, little stinger. And I was like, look, I can hit a draw. Bang, hit a draw. Look, I can hit a draw. Bang, hit a draw. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try and hit a fade. And I never really try and hit a fade.
No.
Because I just don't ever really play that shot. And in trying to hit a fade, I hit the bay behind me. There was like
How did you do that?
I don't know. It must have been my feel. Like, the way I try and hit a fade is, if I'm trying to hit a draw, I will go, outside the line or inside the line. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, yeah.
So you sort of like, whether it's like in front of you or behind you, if I hit a draw, I go outside the line and then under the line on the way through. Yeah. So you hit that shot.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to hit a fade, you come inside the line. Yeah. So I was starting so tight to my body that I slammed my driver into the metal behind me.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, do you have to do that to hit a fade? No, sorry.
That's so sad because you had so much credit in his eyes. He was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
My friend Tom's amazing at
stinger, draw. Ka-chunk, can't hit a fade.
That's terrible.
It's because it's the inside and then the outside, and it sort of scoops it off and sends it.
It's like the time I was trying to coach my son at football. I was telling him what to do, then he passed the ball to me and I fully missed the ball.
Yeah, it's not cool, is it? That's not cool.
Listen, we've run out of time. This is a very short episode. Thanks again for listening to Golf is Ruining My Life. Don't forget, we're giving away golf balls, Tom Green.
Yes, a tour only Pro V1s. We've got a handful of them. If you go down to the bottom of this podcast and you click that five-star review and leave a comment, that is the best thing you can do. You then go and press the subscribe button and we'll pick a few comments and they win golf balls.
And we'll be back soon. Thanks for listening. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Podcast Network.